Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Hola.
Welcome back, Tone. And via Zoom, we have our moderator, AJ.
Good evening, boys.
Welcome, kind of, to the studio. Unfortunately, AJ is a little under the weather, so we're going to all play it safe. So we have him at his crib while me and Tone are at the studio. So feel better, AJ. We're still happy that you're on board and on the episode. No days off. But last week we did a nice little recap. Not really recap. I'm sorry. A prediction sheet, so to say. What did we do last week?
Yeah. So last week we pretty much just a little team total win loss thing and took the over, took the under. We did it with the NFC only. So tonight we're going to run it back. We're going to do it with the AFC, which I think all of us can say it's our favorite side. I mean, it's a really good side for the most part. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Super That's pumped good. For it. So we're going to pretty much do the same thing. Like I said, we'll take the over, the under, the team total wins.
So AJ, you want to we don't really have anything to recap. Want to just jump right in like a shallow pool doing a dive?
Yeah, we could just jump right in. And, you know, I kind of wanted to mention this last week and forgot. For those who are newer to sports betting, this is something that you would consider a futures bet, which means, like, you get your weekly bets, and then you have things that are called futures bets. It's basically you can pick the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl before the season starts. You can pick the Cleveland Browns to win 8 games before the season starts. And the cool thing about futures bets is the odds are always really lovely. I think most people will say the Chiefs are a really good chance that the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl this year. And I think when I saw it this morning, the odds are like plus 500. So, I mean, pretend you put $10 on the Chiefs for the Super Bowl. That's $50. $100 is $500. So futures bets are kind of what we're talking about last week and this week. It's always interesting to consider taking it before the season starts. So, yeah, we'll get in here. We'll talk about the AFC, the Luck Changers' favorite division. And we'll break down all the teams and see what you guys think. So we'll start with the AFC East. And last year was the year that Buffalo Bills knocked the Patriots off of the top. And I saw this the other day. It's the first time since 2008 that anyone besides the Patriots won this division. So that was pretty surprising. And the Bills' win total for the season is 10.5, which is actually -2.5 from last year's record of 13-3. What do you guys think about the Bills?
So I do want to kind of piggyback off of what AJ had mentioned. This is a pretty early prediction, so we'll probably go back and maybe recap this one more time before the regular season starts. So, you know, take what we're saying with a grain of salt. We're definitely giving you our best advice at this time, but it's all obviously subject to change. And another thing that was interesting about this NFL season going from 16 to 17 games is that the AFC teams actually get an extra home game. So that's a huge advantage. That's something to keep in mind when we go forward and do these over-unders. So that being said, we'll go back to the AFC East, starting with the Buffalo Bills, win total over-under 10.5. It's tough for me. I think last year this Bills team was tough. They really came into their own. They won 13 out of 16 of the regular season games. They made it all the way to the AFC Championship, where unfortunately they lost to the Chiefs. They finished the year second in total offense, second in offensive yards. They got a really good squad. So they lost a couple key pieces, or I wouldn't even say key pieces. They lost a couple pieces here and there, but overall they had the same squad. So we still have Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. They parted ways with John Browns, but they picked up veteran receiver Emmanuel Sanders. They still have Singletary and Moss at running back. They added Matt Breida. Is that how you say it?
Breida? Yeah.
They added Matt Breida from the San Francisco 49ers. So that was a nice addition as well. With their first two picks in the draft, they picked up a couple DNs, a couple offensive linemen. I feel like they're in a good spot. So I'm going to go ahead and take the over. I think, again, we have
don't forget. You forgot to include the Nickelodeon's most valuable player.
Oh, my goodness. How could I? Oh, you're no. right. So Mitchell Trubisky is also going to be a backup quarterback there. Huge addition.
Yes.
He really won one of the more prestigious awards. you could get. So
he lost. He fucking lost. Sorry.
He was the winner. That was the early one.
Yeah, I know. It's always me.
So for me, I'll go with the Bills over 10.5 wins.
Yeah, but I am going to jump off the bandwagon before I start my whole spiel. The AFC is most certainly not my favorite conference, not by any means. I don't even know how that even got to be a thing. So I just want to spit my my piece here, and I'm a big NFC guy, but I got some hella takes. Is that what the kids say, hella? Now, I got some good takes. They're good. But, yeah, the Bills went ahead and they signed 4 new offensive linemen, kind of to protect Josh Allen. AJ had mentioned they did get Mitch Trubisky, kind of a backup. You never know what can happen with a running quarterback like that. I did like Tone's little take about the first 2 draft picks going on defensive ends. I think they did exactly what they needed to do, kind of get that edge rush a little more fierce, maybe get that defense going. But this is one of those fishy, fishy lines that I always talk about. Because this team just went 13-3. They were clearly the best team in the division. And they take it down to 10.5. Well, it's just odd to me. I want to throw out a hot take, though. I think they are the 3rd best team in their division this year. So I am going to go under 10.5. I think Bill Belichick gets those boys playing this year. They made a lot of good offseason acquisitions. And then the Miami Dolphins. I love they signed Jacoby Brissett. I'm still not a big Tua guy, but I love that they can always throw him in, a guy who's got plenty of starting experience. He can run that offense exactly the way they need it. They got weapons from a wide receiver, the running back. Their offensive line is stiffening up better, and I love that their defense just got better somehow coming from last year. So
I feel like Nate just took us right into the second pick. I mean, we had the Dolphins next, went total over 9.
Perfect.
Like you just told us what you feel about that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for the most part, I'll just kind of finish my spiel. The Dolphins are what, 9? I think after they pulled off that 10-win season last year that no one expected, I think they just got stronger by drafting Jalen Waddle and having Will Fuller and Devontae Parker on the edges. I love the Dolphins this year, and I think it would be an AFC championship game somehow falls to the Dolphins versus the Browns. And if I were to say that no more than 3 or 4 years ago, I'd probably get laughed at and kicked off podcasts forever. But now it's kind of a who knows? It could definitely happen. So I love the Dolphins over.
Ooh, I can agree with you on the Dolphins. So I also will take them over 9. You know, they end up signing Will Fuller, like you had mentioned. They end up getting Jalen Waddle, Tua's former teammate at Alabama. They still have Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki. Their offensive line seemed to improve. They picked up Malcolm Brown from the Rams. They saw Miles Gaskin, who's really kind of a sleeper player. He's really tough. So I will agree with you. I like the over 9. I think they're going to be a contending squad. They'll most likely be in most of their games, and I guess we'll luck that in over 9.
Yeah. They also drafted Jalen Phillips, kind of a hometown draft out of Miami or Florida. That defensive end is going to be a stud this year. Who we got?
I know we mentioned it last week, but just a reminder, again, all these teams are going to be playing one extra game this year. So whatever they got last year, I mean, they're getting an extra game to at least match what they did last year. So definitely keep that in mind. But next on the list, that takes us to the New England Patriots, who have ran the AFC East forever. Their win total is also 9, which is +2 from last year's 7-9.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm kind of leaning on the edge of this one. I'm not really excited about it. I'll probably confirm this later on in the year before the season starts. But at this point where they're at right now, I'll take the over. So I feel like they really address a lot of their offensive needs. They end up getting 2 really, really solid tight ends in Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. They picked up the Raiders' #1 wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar. They got Kendrick Bourne. They're just a tough squad. So they already had a couple tough guys on that team. And I feel like with Bill Belichick, that experience, I don't know how far they'll go, but I could see them at least pushing with 9, maybe getting 10 and getting that over there. So I will go ahead and go with the over at this time.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you right off the bat. But when's the last time you see the Patriots go out and make all these offseason signings? They never seemed to do that when they had Tom Brady. They never really went out and got him weapons. They drafted them for him from the fourth to the seventh round, and guys like Julian Edelman, who landed to be a stud, Rob Gronkowski, then the like N'Keal Harry as of recently. And it's just, they've never worked out. So I just don't understand why now that you're going to, I guess I do understand, because you have Cam Newton or Mac Jones, unfortunately. And the way Cam Newton's been playing, just, I can see Mac Jones coming in very soon. But,
well, one thing interesting as well with the Patriots is I don't believe they have, I think their schedule was leaked earlier, so I don't know if this is confirmed. By the time this is released, we'll know. But right now, their bye week's not supposed to be until week 13. So that's way later on for these guys. Oof. I don't know how healthy Cam Newton will be in, you know, at that time. So it's going to be interesting. I think we will see Mac Jones around the latter part of the season, but I'll take the over as of now. That's subject to change, obviously.
Yeah, and there's virtually no run game in that backfield either. They let go. I know Rex Burkhead hasn't really gotten the carries as of late, but he's been a huge part of that team, just getting those tough carries. He's not going to fumble the ball. And they have, what, James White, Sony Michel still. I don't see a lot of rushing yards coming out of that backfield.
Damian Harris, he's solid.
He had a good year last year. Then, I don't know. I just feel like they could have gotten better in the offseason, maybe even drafted a guy in the running back spot, maybe take some pressure off of Cam, because you know he's going to be running the ball. He's a freak of nature. He's not even human. But, no, and they made a lot of, like, low-key defensive signings like Raekwon McMillan and Jalen Mills. So I'm going to also, like I said earlier, take the over. But the Patriots are going to be the most interesting team in NFL this year, tell you that.
Yeah, so speaking of schedule drops, speaking of interesting, I know Tampa Bay is traveling to Foxborough this season. Is that going to be the most interesting game you guys are looking forward to this season?
I don't know. For me, I haven't seen the whole schedule yet. I think that will be really intriguing, obviously. So I'm really excited about that one. There's a couple key matchups. I already saw the Browns or the Kansas City Chiefs in the first week. Super excited about that one. I'm sure we'll see some other big matchups, but as of now, that seems like one of the bigger ones, I'd say.
Yeah, I think interesting is the perfect word for this, because I'm going to say, yes, this is going to be the most interesting game, because when's the last time we've seen a quarterback play for the same franchise for, what was it, 18, 19 years? And then move on, win a Super Bowl, and now he's coming back home. So I think, yes, it will be the most interesting game, but I can't say it's going to be the best game, because I like what Tone said about that Chiefs-Browns game. I think that will be a future playoff matchup, just kicking off the season. By the end of the season, you're going to see two completely different teams, by the way. You're going to see kind of a rusty Browns and Chiefs team to start off, and then I think those are going to be some powerhouses later in the year.
All right. So to round out the conference, we have the lowly New York Jets. Now their win total is actually 6.5, which is plus 4.5 from last year's record of 2-14. What do you guys about the Jets?
So I think this total went up not only because of the extra game, but I think they have a quarterback that they are completely confident in and that they're going to play. Pretty sure they're going to play in week one. They made a huge signing in Tevin Coleman. I still think he's got some years left. I think he's going to be a perfect asset to the team, along with signing Keelan Cole and Corey Davis. You got Tyler Croft in there, a really underrated tight end. And they just went all in the offseason. Unfortunately, they did lose Frank Gore, which is one of my favorite running backs of all time. I still think he's got another year left in him. Let him play. But I don't think they're going to get over those 6.5 wins. I think they have to play 6 games in that tough division, which arguably is the toughest division of football. Unfortunately, the Jets have to bear the backs of it. So I think the Jets go under that 6.5. I 4 years from now, they might be a tough team.
I can't help but agree with you. So I just can't see it. They have a kind of a tough schedule, because again, this is another schedule that leaked earlier. I think they'll get the 5 wins, possibly 6 tops. I don't think they'll get to 7, 8, 9 wins. Could be wrong about that. Again, it's subject to change. At this time, I'm going to take the under, though. I really like that Corey Davis pickup. That was a nice signing for them. I think he was a stud next to A.J. Brown in Tennessee. So I like him going there. I'm not a big Zach Wilson guy, but you know, I'm going to give him a chance. He's a rookie. He looks like he's determined to be a solid player in this league. So I'm excited to watch them play. I think they might compete and possibly cover the spread in a decent amount of games, but I'll take the under 6.5.
Yeah, I like the point about them covering the spread. And they also got your biggest sleeper in the draft, Elijah Moore. So that's another weapon for Zach Wilson. They went out there. They signed receivers. They went all in on defense. They did well, had an awesome draft. And when you look at their departures this year, it's just nothing really kind of really eye-opening. So I think the Jets have a really good future playing ahead of them.
All right, so that's going to move us to the AFC West division. First on the list, obviously, it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Their win total for the year is 12, which is actually minus 2 from last year's 14-2 record.
I think it's hard not to take the Kansas City Chiefs over 12. I mean, for me, as long as Patrick Mahomes is still there, they have a very solid squad. They picked up Jerick McKinnon from the 49ers, who was a really nice running back, honestly. He was pretty good. They picked up Orlando Brown. We know he's a nice veteran offensive tackle who should be able to get Patrick Mahomes in that line some protection. They did lose Damian Williams. I really liked him towards the end of the year. I thought he came into his own, and he was pretty solid when Edwards-Helaire was hurt. They still have Edwards-Helaire. They have Travis Kelce. They lost Sammy Watkins. They still have Tyreek Hill. So they're solid overall. Again, for me, when you have Patrick Mahomes, as long as he's healthy, with this solid squad, I got to take the over 12.
I just think this is another one of those fishy lines. I just pray that Patrick Mahomes stays healthy throughout the year, because he really makes the NFL a lot more fun to watch. And like Tone was saying, they did lose Sammy Watkins, but in that offense, he just kind of fell to a shadow. He wasn't all that important. I think them signing Tajae Sharpe, who did spend his last year with the Vikings but didn't see much playing time, I think he is plenty talented to fill Sammy Watkins' role, because I just think he was kind of less used than he really should have been. I think he's wasting away a lot of his prime, and I think he didn't go to the team that's going to help that anymore. But we'll talk about them later. I'm going to stay with the over, though, despite it being so fishy. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes. But I don't quite like going with the over when they have such a depleted offensive line. I know they got Orlando Brown, and they just got, who was it, who just retired and came back?
Kyle Long?
Yeah, Kyle Long. Yeah. And he's super unproven after taking that whole year off. But I just think if they can give him time, it'll go over. But obviously, if that offensive line doesn't hold up, I think this is going to be a sneaky 11-6, 10-7 team.
Okay, so the next team we got in the AFC West is the Denver Broncos. This is an interesting team because of the connections to Aaron Rodgers. So their win total is 9, which is plus 4 from last year's record of 5-11. And I think it's one of those things where you got to get in now if you want this play, because if they get Rodgers, I would believe that they could easily surpass 9. If they don't get him, they don't even come close to that 9. But I think if you wait for them to lock in Rodgers, or if you wait and they don't, then that number is going to change drastically. So what do you guys think? What's your opinion on this one?
Yeah, so I will humbly take the first conditional pick on this AFC prediction sheet. So I am going to take the over, obviously, if Aaron Rodgers comes. If he doesn't, not by much, though. I think they go 8-9. 7-10, something like that. Pretty close, because I love the way they stiffened up this defensive backfield by signing Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller, Kareem Jackson, also drafting Patrick Surtain the second, number 9 overall, I believe. So I just love the way they worked this offseason. Even Drew Lock, though, I think he's got potential to be a decent quarterback. Not a great one, not a fantastic one, not even a good one. Decent enough to win 7 to 8 games in the NFL. And they also got Teddy Bridgewater to kind of back up, maybe mentor him a little. So I think that's huge. And one of the biggest signs, I think, Mike Boone, former Minnesota Viking, filled in great every time Dalvin Cook got hurt. So you guys got a good one there. So I am going to conditionalize that pick with the over with Rodgers and the under without.
Yeah, I think you pretty much summed it up for us. it's obviously conditional, because if we have Aaron Rodgers, I'm certainly taking the over. Without Aaron, I got to take the under, though. I'm right on the line either way. Like, I would probably prefer the pass this one, to be honest with you. But for me, it's just tough. They did add Teddy Bridgewater. We know all the guys that you had mentioned. They lost Philip Lindsay, who was a nice part of the offense. They lost another tight end and Nick Vannett. Conditionally, I guess I'll take the under. I'll do the opposite of you. But if Aaron Rodgers is added onto this team, it's for sure the over.
Yeah, next team on the slate, we have the Los Angeles Chargers. Their win total is 9, which is plus 2 from last season, 7-9. Justin Herbert's entering his sophomore season. What do you guys think about the Chargers?
I think the Chargers will be a pretty interesting team. They do have the Offensive Rookie of the Year in Justin Herbert. I think he came out and really exceeded expectations, honestly. So I think he was a pretty tough player. They added veteran tight end Jared Cook, but they lost Hunter Henry. So it's tough. They lost most of their offensive line. I know they added some guys, but it's hard to say. They do have Keenan Allen, who's a beast. They have Austin Eckler, who's a beast. For now, again, this is all subject to change. I have to take the under 9 just because I think they'll get around that total, but I don't know if they're going to win 10, 11, 12 games. So at this time, I'll go ahead and take the under 9.
So before I say anything, that was the biggest snub in NFL award history. There is no reason Justin Jefferson should not have gotten Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. I mean, there's no one that can disagree with me. Dude set records over Randy Moss, who is the GOAT in a lot of people's minds, including myself. But I'm going to luck that in. I love the under. I think everyone's super high on Justin Herbert this year. They didn't do really anything to get him any weapons in the wide receiver. I mean, they have Keenan Allen. They lost Hunter Henry. They did kind of recoup and sign an old Jared Cook, which I don't think he's good with anyone else but Drew Brees. So I don't like this Chargers team this year. They stiffened up that defense a lot, but they lost Trey Turner, Mike Pouncey, Don Feeney, Forrest Lamp, Sam Tevy, all on the offensive line. So Herbert's going to get rushed a lot this year. I don't like this team whatsoever, so I'm going under. I'm going to look that in.
All right. To round out the conference, we have the Las Vegas Raiders. Their win total is 7, which is minus 1 from last year's record of 8-8.
Yeah, so this is another team that's kind of on the Aaron Rodgers radar, in a sense. They went absolutely nuts in the offseason by signing Kenyon Drake and Theo Riddick at running back. They got wide receivers John Brown, Willie Snead, and they went all over the place on defense by signing Yannick Ngakoue, Solomon Thomas, Casey Hayward, Carl Joseph from the Browns, and they drafted a big offensive tackle in Alex Leatherwood from Alabama, which was a huge pick. And then they drafted safety Trevon Mulrigue from TCU, who I think is super underrated. I think he could have won earlier. So I like the over just because of the spectacle. This is going to be the first time that Las Vegas gets to watch their Raiders in person, which is kind of crazy to think about. I think they ride off that big black hole, and I think they go over with it.
So I'm going to have to agree with you again, honestly. So we're going to have to luck in the over on this one. I know the Raiders lost their number one wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar, but they still have Darren Waller. They had a nice additions in Kenyon Drake and Willie Snead, John Brown, et cetera. You had mentioned all that, but I don't know. I think Vegas is going to be interesting because they're going to be one of the first venues to get full capacity as far as a crowd goes. They're talking about having DJs, bottle service. I think it's going to be a vibe, honestly. So I don't know if they're going to be great, but I think they can at least get to 7 wins, possibly 8 or 9. And I think it'll be fun. So I'm going to go and take the over 7.
Well, with all that being said, if we get 100,000 views, we're going to do a live episode, Luck Changers, in the black hole with the bottle service. 100,000 views, one episode is all we need. So boom. And we'll do a live episode. It'll be absolutely freaking nuts.
I like it.
Who do you guys have winning the division this year?
I mean, I can't help but take the Chiefs. I mean, as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, and I don't know. For me, I got to take the Chiefs. If Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, I might take them just because, but I'll take Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to ride on the conditional pick. Definitely, I will take Denver if Aaron Rodgers goes there, but this is the Chiefs division. It's going to be the Chiefs division for the next 10 to 15 years because Mahomes got so much more time in him. So this is going to be like the Tom Brady of the AFC East. So I think this is going to be the Chiefs division. But Aaron Rodgers would make it extremely interesting and two really fun games to watch every year.
Okay. And before moving on, I forgot to get your guys' who is your guys' AFC East champ prediction picks?
I got to go with the Bills. Again, I think they're coming off a really good season where they're showing dominance. I know the Patriots will be tough in their own right just because they've added quite a few pieces, but the Dolphins will probably be tough as well. So this division for me is kind of up in the air. I think it'd be really fun to see how it plays out. But at this time, I guess I'll take the Bills.
Yeah, no, Stephon Diggs was the guy who stood out there and watched the Kansas City Chiefs parade as they lost last year. So he's coming back with all the momentum in the world, this and that. It's all horse shit. Hear me out. This is the Dolphins division this year. The Bills are going to downgrade in their record exponentially. So I think the Dolphins take this division. I'm not sold on the Bills this year. I think, like I said earlier, they come in third in this division. I think the Patriots end up getting them out. And I think all three teams make the playoffs, though, with that extra wild card spot. Yeah, so yeah, I like the Dolphins.
All right, so with that being said, let's move on to the next division. This is the Luck Changers podcast favorite division in football. It's the AFC North. All right. So to start off for the highest win total prediction, we have the Baltimore Ravens. Their win total for the season is 11, which is even for last year's record of 11-5.
I think the Ravens really lost some solid players. They lost Mark Ingram, Willie Snead, offensive tackle Orlando Brown. I know they did add a couple of veteran pieces such as Alejandro Villanueva to replace Orlando Brown. They also added Sammy Watkins, but I don't know. I feel like the Ravens, they're a tough squad. And I feel like people are starting to catch up with Lamar Jackson and the whole scheme. I don't know. It's tough for me. So I'm going to go ahead and take the under 11. I think they probably will get at least 10 wins, but I don't know if they'll get 11 or 12. It's going to be tough. It's subject to change, but I'll take the under 11.
Yeah, I think they have the a couple of the best receivers that could be in the game right now, but I just don't think they're going to be useful. They have they just got Sammy Watkins, and I think they got one of the biggest sleepers in the draft by getting Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. At one point, he was a top-rated recruit. He got injured and kind of fell back to him, so I just feel like they're going to be super underused. I'm going to agree with you and take the under. I love J.K. Dobbins, by the way. I love that dynamic they have in the backfield. Villanueva had mentioned in interviews that he would much rather play for a run-heavy team, so he's happy where he's at, but we'll see if that ends up biting them in the ass. So I'm going to go with the under.
All right, that takes us to the next team on the slate. It's the Cleveland Browns. Their win total for this season is 10, which is actually minus one from last year's record of 11-5.
Yeah, so I am going to go with the over. I think this Browns team is not messing around. They did everything right in the offseason. I think they go out and get a first win against the Chiefs, kind of shock the world. They added defensive linemen to Curtis McKinley, Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, and then edge rusher like Jadeveon Clowney. And you already have Myles Garrett. That's absolutely disgusting. This defense was top-notch last year. You just got way better, even by drafting Greg Newsom II and Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara, as my co-host would say, jock or joke. What do you say?
Joke,
yeah, there he is. I think that was the biggest steal in the draft. They only lost guys like Olivier Vernon, who's getting old, Larry Ogunjobi, Kevin Johnson, Terrence Mitchell, Carlos Joseph, and everybody, all the Browns' favorite safety, Andrew Sandejo, is gone. So I love the over. So go Brownies.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this one's easy for me. It's probably my most confident pick in the AFC. Over 10, they'll at least get 10 since we have the extra game. As long as we stay healthy, I feel really good about that. So I feel like we had a great draft. Our offense pretty much remained the same, more or less. But I feel like our defense got better. So we're a good squad. We have a solid foundation. I really love our leadership. And I think over 10 is a money lock pick.
We haven't done that the whole dang time. Why with the Browns? That's true. Not our favorite. It's not. It's just not. It's not an R thing.
All right. So the next team coming in at third is actually last year's AFC North champs. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their win total for this season is 8.5, which is -3.5 from last year's record of 12-4.
I feel like this team's really quite different, to be honest. They lost some really key players on defense, such as Bud Dupree, on offense as well. Alejandro Villanueva, we talked about him moving. They lost James Conner, Marquise Pouncey, McDonald. I don't know. I feel like it's hard to bet against them because they've won at least 8 games in all of their last 17 seasons. So it's tough to go against that. I think I'll still take the over. I know we're in a tough division, and it's just hard to bet against those statistics. So for me, I'll take the over 8.5. I don't think they'll win the division. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they're the Steelers. They're always going to compete. They have an elite defense, and I think they always have a chance. So,
yeah, I'm going to go with the over. I do think they make the playoffs, second in the division. I think they surpass the Ravens. It's Ben Roethlisberger. He's a winner. It's what he does. I love that they signed Kalen Ballage, who's super underrated running back, who can kind of get the carries with Najee Harris, the rookie they just got out of Alabama. And I think since they lost Vance McDonald, they had a perfect sleeper pick by getting the Penn State tight end Pat Freiermuth. And I think he's going to be a super huge target for Big Ben this year. They got Juju back. They have Deontay Johnson, as well as Chase Claypool. He absolutely went off last year. So he's got the weapons. He's got exactly what he needs. They kind of filled the spots by losing Alejandro Villanueva and Marquise Pouncey, by getting Rashad Coward, B.J. Finney, and Joe Haug all on the offensive line. So I think this team goes over. I think they're going to be a force to reckon with when they make it to the playoffs as a wild card.
And to close out the AFC North, we have the Cincinnati Bengals. Godspeed to all our Cincinnati Bengals fans out there.
Godspeed.
Prayers.
Win total for Cincinnati this season is projected at 6.5 wins, which is +2.5 from last year's record of 4-11. Obviously, we all know what happened to Joe last season. Does he bounce back? What do you guys think about the Bengals?
I don't like it. Joe, I think he needs a few weeks off towards this next year, as in like taking weeks off starts. He needs to get healthy. He's young. This is the future of the franchise. He needs to take some weeks off. Don't let him play until he's absolutely for sure ready. You don't want to waste that kind of talent. They had a pretty good offseason, though. Quick shout out to Thaddeus Moss, son of Randy Moss, which they had acquired this year. So quick little shout out. But they got a defensive backs, Shidibe Awuzie, Mike Hilton, Ricardo Allen. But oddly, they drafted Ja'Marr Chase when they had gotten a weapon like T. Higgins last year. They have Tyler Boyd. I think that's odd when they lost their quarterback due to him getting pressured. Why not draft the best offensive lineman in the draft since who knows when? So I'm going to go with the under. Lost AJ Green, John Ross, Giovanni Bernard, who's been a staple for that team. Also defensive backs like Mackenzie Alexander and William Jackson III. So I'm not sold on these guys, so I'm going under.
Once again, I have to agree. So I guess we're agreeing on a lot of these, but this one's pretty conditional as well, just because it's hard to see how Joe Burrow is going to bounce back. I really believe in Joe Burrow a lot. I don't know. I think he's a really tough kid. He seems to really have all the fundamentals and qualities to achieve greatness. So I'm rooting for him. I hope he bounces back. Again, Godspeed to our Bengals fans, but it's hard to not take the under. So, and for the last 5 years, they've gotten less than 7 wins. I mean, they only had 2 wins in 2019 and 4 in 2020. I don't like how they lost Giovanni Bernard, AJ Green, Geno Atkins. I'm just not really sure how it's going to play out. So for me, I got to take the under, and I guess we'll luck that in.
Cha-ching.
All right. So last week we kind of discussed how the NFC South was probably the worst division, and AFC North last season, I think we could all agree that was probably the toughest division. They combined 34-14, top 3 teams all made the playoffs. Do you guys think that this is once again the toughest division in football? Do all 3 make the playoffs once again? Or is there another division that could take the top spot this year?
I still want to say it's got to be one of the toughest divisions. I don't know if it'll be the toughest. It's got to be top 2, top 3 at least. I think there's some really good divisions out there. I'm trying to think of what I would take second. What are you thinking?
Oh, I think Dolphins, Patriots, and the Bills is the toughest division of this year. I think they are the AFC North of last year this year.
Okay, I can see that. That makes sense. Yeah.
It'll be like the Jets and the Bengals kind of. They got both have new quarterbacks, went nuts in the offseason. I think the Ravens digress a lot. I'm not sold on them this year. I just think they go under 500. I think it's, know.
You heard it here first.
I don't know. I think you got two bad teams in that division this year.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And we talked about it already, but Cleveland, the Browns made a lot of changes on their defense to bolster up through free agency and the draft. Are either of you willing to say that they have one of the top defenses in the NFL, or who do you think does have the top defense this season?
It's hard to argue that the Browns don't have the toughest defense in the NFL. I think Arizona might have taken a big step up this year by signing J.J. Watt. Other than that, I don't see – I know that Pittsburgh has had a tough defense for quite some time, but they kind of fell apart this year. I love T.J. Watt on that defense, but I think I have to just say the Browns do have the best, on paper, the best defense in the league.
I'm not going to argue that at all. I mean, I really like the Browns, but I think the Steelers always have an elite defense, so I really like them as well. But overall, I got to take the Browns.
Okay, so before moving on to the AFC South and closing out the show, I have to ask, who do each of you have winning the AFC North this season?
I feel like we kind of hinted through our discussion that it would be the Browns, but don't kind of sleep on the Steelers this year. They went out pretty brutally last year after they had that long undefeated season and then got absolutely mollywopped by the Browns in the playoffs. So they're coming out with a chip on their shoulders. So, man, that's tough. You know what? I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to just go out of nowhere. I think the Steelers take the division.
Okay. Well, I got to take the Browns. So
no offense or nothing.
I think it's the Browns season finally. Again, they have an elite offense, elite defense. I think they're going to be able to put together the pieces finally. And I'm going to take the Browns for once to win our division.
Not my division. Hashtag.
All right, so we're going to round out the show here. We're going to talk about the AFC South. It's the last division we have to discuss. We're going to start with the Indianapolis Colts. They are projected to have the highest win total this season in the division with 10, which is minus one from last year's record of 11-5.
I think I really want to pass this one. I don't have a great feel either way, to be honest with you. I always like Carson Wentz. I believe in him. I felt like things just didn't really make sense for him in Philadelphia towards the end, and it showed. So for me, I'm rooting for him. I hope they can get over that 10. I think the Colts last year had a really tough squad. So we saw they took a nice first-round pick in Kwity Paye. They still have that solid wide receiver core. T.Y. Hilton re-signed. They had Michael Pittman. They're a solid squad. So I like them overall, and if I had to pick, I don't know. I want to take the over, but ultimately, I'd probably take the under and lean towards a push.
I think I would also lean towards a push, which is odd because Carson Wentz never really did anything for me. As in, I'd never really seen that it factor. But his rookie year before he got hurt, and then it was Nick Foles. It was first or second year. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. But that was definitely Carson Wentz's team. He did that. Nick Foles just kind of subbed in like a substitute teacher towards the end of the year before summer break. So I love the over, but 10 is such a perfect number. But I don't like their wide receiver core as much. When Paris Campbell comes back, I think that would be huge. They did lose Trey Burton, unfortunately. I don't know. They lost a lot on the defensive side with Malik Hooker, T.J. Carey, Anthony Walker Jr., even Justin Houston, who's getting up there in age, but he's a presence on the defensive side. So, you know, I'm going to just take the over. I think they go 11-6.
To finish with the projected second place in the division, we have the Tennessee Titans and King Henry. Win total, 9.5 wins, which is minus 1.5 from last year. They did win the AFC South last year with the record of 11-5.
I think this is going to be an interesting squad this year. Again, this is too early to tell. We'll revisit back in, you know, September or late August, but I don't know. I feel like they lost two key targets in Corey Davis, tight end Jonnu Smith, and they lost their almost their entire defensive backfield. So for me, I got to take the under 9.5. They're going to keep riding Derrick Henry, and he's awesome, and Tannehill can be great at times, but we'll see. I think they'll be competitive as always and probably take them to cover the spread, but I'll go under 9.5.
Yeah, I'm going to immediately look that in. I don't like what they did in the offseason. They, like Tone was saying, they lost their entire backfield. That's Dory Jackson, Desmond King, Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro. They lost Jadeveon Clowney, and they also lost a third, like a huge third down target in Adam Humphries on the offensive side, which absolutely kills. I love Josh Reynolds, that signing, but other than that, they did get Bud Dupree and Janoris Jenkins, who's on the elderly side. But they did get our guy AJ's cornerback from Virginia Tech in Caleb Farley. What do you think about that pick?
You'd have to ask Dakota on that one. That's his guy, but I'm all right with it. I think he's okay. He sat out his last year, so it's hard for me to be too excited when someone sits for their college season. Sometimes it can help, but I mean, overall, I think I'd have to agree with you guys with the Titans projection. This next one's really interesting. The Jacksonville Jaguars finished last year at 1-15, and they're actually projected to finish above the Texans in the division. Win total is 6.5, which is plus 5.5 from last year. What do you guys think about the Jags?
By the looks of it, it's going to be the cupcake division of the NFL this year, but I think that fits perfectly with Trevor Lawrence. He just comes in and has himself some easy games this year. I think this team goes over. I love that they got Travis Etienne along with them in the run game. And I think the biggest signing of all time is just my guy Tim Tebow, 34 years old, going to start the season. Never caught a pass in the NFL. Batted about 130 in baseball. I think that's just like the most key signing you can ever have. So I just can't, this team goes way over with the faith of Tim Tebow.
Okay, I think I'll just disagree. I don't know. When you put it like that, though, honestly, this division isn't great. So, again, this is subject to change. At this time, it's just hard. It's hard to say. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think, will be really solid. I know Travis Etienne was a very good college running back. And I don't know. They had Carlos Hyde. They had Marvin Jones. But they lost quite a few key weapons as far as wide receivers go. And it's hard to say for me. So I want to take the under 6.5, but I probably will change this by the time real football season comes around. Again, late August, first week of September. So at this time, I'll take the under.
Their defensive line solid this year now. Their defensive back just
increased thoroughly.
So, I mean, they got Shaquille Griffin, Malcolm Brown on the defensive line, Jahad Ward. Then, I don't know. I love this team. Oh, and they drafted Tyson Campbell early in the second round from Georgia, huge cornerback. So, I don't know. I think this team easily go. I think they go win 8 or 9 games. I think they're tough.
All right. So, the last team we have to cover could arguably be competing for the number one draft pick in the next year's NFL draft. It's the Houston Texans. Their win total is 4, which is even from last year's record of 4-12.
I feel like the Texans are a mess. So it's just hard to say what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And that 4 is so low when you have 17 games. Again, this is one I'd want to pass, but I guess I'll take the under if I have to choose. I do think they were competitive at times, but if you don't have Deshaun Watson and you've made so many additions and departures and a lot going on in the organization. So for me, I would lean towards the under, but we'll see what happens come, you know, football season.
Yeah, that whole Deshaun Watson thing is just a huge conditional kind of pick. I think this soars under. They signed a bunch of names that you know that are going to be absolutely useless. Let me name a couple. Mark Ingram, Tyrod Taylor, Philip Lindsay, Chris Conley, Dante Moncrief. You know all these guys. Shaq Lawson, Derek Rivers, Jaleel Johnson, Jordan Jenkins, Christian Kirksey, Vernon Hargraves from Florida, Terrence Mitchell, Desmond King. These are all useless guys. And they went ahead and drafted quarterback Davis Mills out of Stanford, which in the third round, which was crazy early. I hate this team. I think they soar under. I think they go 2-15. They're going to get the first pick in next year's draft.
Yeah, Hakes. Okay. There it is.
They stink.
So when the 17-game schedule closes out, do you guys think there will be any of the first-round quarterbacks, Lawrence Wilson, Lance Fields, Jones, any of them in the playoffs this postseason?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a good question. I think Mac Jones.
That's what I was going to say. Possibly Jones.
Yeah, with the Patriots. But that's a – oh, I don't know. I think – I like Kyle Shanahan with Trey Lance. I think they're trying to do big things, but maybe not this year. So, if anything, I think it's going to be Mac Jones, and he's not even going to play all the games.
And who do you guys have winning the AFC South this year?
Oh, man. I guess I would have to go the Colts, assuming Carson Wentz comes in and is able to, you know, fold into the offense appropriately. But who knows? It's a up-in-the-air division for me, honestly.
Yeah, to be fair, the last 2 years, the Titans have way overperformed everybody's expectations. I mean, they keep getting better, but I can't say them. I like the Colts as well. I'm going to luck that in. It's just, I just hate this division. This is by far the worst division in football. This is the Dallas Cowboys division as of, or of last year. So it's going to be extremely boring to watch divisional games for these guys.
All right. So basically that kind of wraps it up for the AFC. And we have both of your guys' AFC and NFC divisional predictions. Whether it's next week or the following week, I know we'll kind of get into wild cards, and then we'll kind of do a playoff prediction for the both of you guys. So that's pretty much it for the AFC.
Okay, yeah. So like he was saying, we will definitely get to our playoff predictions, but I'm going to kind of drop a little bomb here. We have an interview, boys. Another one. Ryan Hudak Keenan, former pro mixed martial arts fighter turned pro boxer. He just had a fight last weekend, and I will have to show you guys the link to the fight because the judge's decision was absolutely repulsive. He should have won that fight, and I'll show you guys, and it was blatantly obvious for even a novice fighter watching. But Ryan Hudak Keenan, also a trainer slash coach at Six Levels Gym in Orlando, Florida, also good friend of the podcast. We're going to have him on May 26th, correct? I think that's the date, and then we'll probably post the episode the 27th, so stay tuned for that. We also rescheduled the 1899 interview. We'll let you guys know later the date we are going to 1899 for our live interview. So you guys got anything else?
I think that'll do it for me.
AJ?
That's it for me, boys.
I do want to shout out our moderator, AJ. I know he's not feeling well. Appreciate you getting on the Zoom with us and keeping us on the path like we need you to do. And we appreciate you. Hope you feel better.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks, boys.
Yes, sir. Prayers your way. It was a good kind of seeing you for the brief second. I got old girl has our mixer for, I guess I never said that on the show before. All right. But yeah, so go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, add us on Facebook or follow us. I don't even know how that freaking works. We are all at Luck Changers Podcast. And we have an email, luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and shoot us questions. And if there's a game on that night that you're not quite sure of, we will reply. We promise every time. So go ahead and ask us. We'll give you our expert advice. We'll talk it over between the three of us. We'll see what we all like, and we'll tell you what we all kind of like. It will be a lot of fun. We're here to help. So we appreciate you guys if you're still listening right now. So go ahead and follow us on our social medias. Email us. It's a super pleasure to have you guys still on board. So it only gets better from here. So thank you guys so much. And for your host, Nate, my co-host, Tone, and moderator AJ, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Peace.
Peace. We're out of here. I need a beer.